Parshas Pinchas, the beginning of the parasha, talks about the reward that Pinchas receives for killing Zimri and Cosby. The pasuk, Kapitel Chaf Hei, pasuk in Gimel says, "V'hois Eloi ulezare achara bris kunas oilam." He received a bris kunas oilam. He was able to get the kuhuna tachas ashekine leleikav vayechapav ne Yisrael. He stood up, we know Pinchas, he stood up for the honor of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, and he was zeichet to be a Kohen. Now what happened? Aaron HaKohen became the Kohen Gadol. His children were Kehanim. Pinchas, is Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. Why isn't Pinchas a Kohen? Rashi says, V'hoi Saloi, Brisi Azois, Briskun Azoilam, Sheap Alpi, Shekvar Nosne Kuhuna Lazari Shal Aaron, even though previously the children of Aaron already Zeichet to have to be the Kehanim, to the Kuhuna, Le Nosne Lala Aaron Lavano Shenimshach Imoi, Ulusaldoisam Sheyeludu Akahamishchosan. It only applied to Aaron and his children that would become born, that would be born after he was Moshiach, after the Baruch Shalom made him the Kohen Gadol, Moshiach Rabbeinu made him the Kohen Gadol. Our Pinchas, Pinchas was born before Aaron became the Kohen Gadol. And Pinchas himself, there was no Mashiach. He did not, he was not Zeichet to the Kohen until now. He did not become a Kohen until he killed Zimri. So we have that someone to be a Kohen, he has to be, someone has to be Moshechim, he has to become, by someone who Moshechim becomes a Kohen, unless it comes automatically through a person's father. So Aaron HaKohen someone was Moshechim, and therefore he who became the Kohen Gadol, and all his children automatically that come out of him are Kohanim. But Pinchas was born before, so therefore he was not a Kohen.
So, what is this thing now with Zimri and what?
Zimri and Cosby, Pinchas, they were doing an Aveira together. Zimri was a Nasi and Cosby was a Goy. And they were Mizana together, they were doing things not proper, and Pinchas, for the sake of the Rebbeinu Shalom, for the honor of Hashem, he killed them. In Kanois, he was a Kanoi, and he killed them. Both of them. At the same time, the Gemara said, one was the Jewish one. And it says there was Nisim, unbelievable Nisim that happened. It had to be done in a certain fashion, otherwise there's a concept how that someone coming to chase after you to kill you, you're allowed to kill them first. So technically when he was coming after Zimri, Zimri could have killed Pinchas. He was risking his life. Aside from that, if Pinchas didn't do it in the exact proper way with exact kavanas, it's an Isser Dereisa to kill him. You know, I'll just kill someone. There's only certain parameters that you'd be allowed to kill. He was a Yid, like you said. So it'd be certain parameters that he'd be allowed to kill him. He can't kill him. Only a very specific Chazal go through details of all the Nisim that happened that Pinchas did not do anything wrong and it was a completely righteous act. So the question is, why was Pinchas Zeichah specifically to the Kohanim? A reward you should get, fine. But why, what's specifically the Kohanim? It says in the Ibn Ezra that the schar that Pinchas got was not just the Kohanim, but rather the Kohanim Gedolim came from Pinchas. We know that all the Kohanim, the first base and the second base of Middash, the Kohen Gadol came from Pinchas, the lineage of Pinchas. Not the lineage of the other children of Aaron HaKohen, but from Pinchas. It says in the Klei Yoker, it says, why the Pasuk says, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. Because normally, when we want to identify someone, we identify them by their father. Why are we going back over here two generations? Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron. Why don't you just call him Pinchas ben Elazar? So Rashi asks the question right away, and Rashi says, "L'kishahoyu ashvatim mevazim." I say, the shiftei ka were making fun of him. The other people, not the shiftei ka directly, the Klal Yisrael were making fun of him. Harisem ben puti zeh shepitim avi imay agalim la'avodas alilim. His father, Pinchas ben Elazar, married the daughter of Yisrael. Yisrei was Agdei Rabbi Eliezer at one point. So they're making fun of him, saying, look, oh, you have this guy Pinchas. He's a big kanoi for Hashem. Hello, look where he comes from. Look who he married into. There's no great sheikhs over here. Who is he? Vaharak Nasi Shevet Yisrael, and he had the audacity to go and kill. Not Zimri wasn't a Yid. Zimri was a Nasi of Klal Yisrael. So therefore the Torah comes to tell us, he quotes the Gemara and Sanhedrin the Rashi, that he came to tell us, you should know, he's Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron. He has good yichas. Even though Elazar maybe they can try to complain about, but he comes from good stock. The Kliyaka says that the reason why the Torah says, specifically tells us that he's Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKoyin, he says Aaron also did something wrong on some level. We know that Aaron HaKoyin made the eagle. Chor said, I'm not making the eagle. They killed Chor. Aaron said, I'm going to make the eagle. And Aaron was the one who ultimately made the eagle. So, you can go back to Rashi, it doesn't seem to really follow through. So the reason why the Torah says, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron, because you want to give him good yichas, but Aaron made the eagle. Elazar married into a family of a desire, but Aaron made the eagle. So why is that necessarily? Maybe we should go back one more generation. Maybe the pastor said Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron, but Amram. Amram was a tzaddik. We don't know. Amram, we don't know of any such stories that, like this. So what's pshat? So Kiyaka says Merdik. Says you should know that Pinchas, when he did his act, he knew that they would make fun of him. He knew that they would say, oh, look at him. He comes from Elazar. He comes from Aaron. Who are you? But you know what? He didn't care. He didn't care what they were going to say, that he was the son of Elazar. He didn't care what they were going to say, that the grandson of Aaron HaKohen who made an eagle. He all did it l'shem Shemayim. Nothing else mattered. There was one thing that mattered, and that was doing what he felt was the Ratzon Hashem, and that's what he did. The Meshech Chochma says that when he killed Zimri, he caused, there were two facts that happened. There were two things that he accomplished. One, his kanoyis, his zealousness of l'chvoy Shemayim, of kavod Shemayim. And secondly, was he demonstrated as a havas Hashem. How so? He says, Pinchas was a roidif, he was running after Zimri. As I said before, because he was running after Zimri, Zimri had the right to kill him. He didn't care. He risked his life for Kavod Shemayim. Where was Ahavas Hashem? He says, Lamaisa, he was risking his Olam Haba. Because as I said before, if he wouldn't have done it perfectly in every single aspect, he would have lost his Olam Haba. But he didn't care. He was willing to risk his Olam Haba. Let's assume his life is the first part. But now, let's assume he would have killed Zimri, and Zimri would not have killed him. So his life is okay. But would have lost his Olam Haba by killing Zimri. Because if he didn't do it right, then it was an Aveira to kill Zimri. It's a terrible Aveira. To kill another Yid is a terrible Aveira. He was willing to risk his Olam Haba. And he accomplished both of these acts. And he explains, that's why it says, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. Elazar, the Yerushalmi that says that after he was Nifter Aaron HaKohen, it says Anane Kavod left. There's no more Anane Kavod. The clouds that protected Klal Yisrael when they were in the Midbar, it left. It came back because of Moshe Rabbeinu, but initially it left when Aaron was Nifter. And the Klal Yisrael got up and started doing Averus. There's no more Anane Kavod. Maybe Aaron Shalom is not here, and they started doing Averus. Elazar got up and he says, I'm not doing it. We're going to stop it right here. There's no Averus. Aaron Shalom is still here. There's still Aaron Shalom in the world. No Averus. We're not doing that. That, he says, that was one prat. And he says that Aaron HaKohen, what did he do? He says, so Elazar was willing to risk his life at that point. That was the Kavod Shemayim. For Kavod Shemayim, he stood up and said, I don't care, I'm not scared of anybody. He technically was risking his life, but he's not scared. Kavod Shemayim, we're not doing it there. Aaron HaKohen, what did Aaron HaKohen do? Chor got killed. They went to Aaron, are you going to make the eagle? What did Aaron say? What was his cheshbon? He said he's going to do it, but what was his cheshbon? He says, if I don't make it, they're going to kill me. And they're going to make the eagle immediately. He says, I'm ready to risk my Olam Haba, that I shouldn't receive Olam Haba, and I will make the Egel, because he postponed it. He made him, he says, I'm going to make it, but wait till the next day. Wait till the next morning. He was ready to risk his whole Olam Haba for the sake of Kavod Shamayim.
Right.
And that's why it says Pinchas ben Alozer ben Aaron HaKohen, the midah of Kavod Shemayim of the Guf, and the midah of the Kavod Shemayim of Ahavas Hashem, willing to risk even your Olam Haba. That's how much you're. Maybe I don't have such Ahavas Hashem per se, but I want Olam Haba. I know it's a good thing, so I want Olam Haba.
So Pinchas was risking his Olam Haba.
Pinchas was risking his Olam Haba because if he would have killed Zimri in a not proper way in every aspect, he would have been not the Egel.
So what was the proper way to kill?
That's what the Gemara talks about. It. There's many different ways. It had to be in one shot. There's a whole bunch of different things. He had them both on the sword at the same time. It's a whole long parasha.
One other thing about Aaron, when you said that he postponed it to the morning. What was the purpose in postponing it? That he thought maybe something would happen before then?
So it's an excellent question. Actually, the Ben Ish Chai explains that Pinchas had a good cheshbon, and Pinchas' cheshbon was that he knew that Moshe Ben was coming down the next day. He wanted it postponed until the next morning, and if it were postponed until the next morning, Moshe would have come, there would have been no eagle. The only problem is that the Erev Rav, they came along with Klai Yisrael, they got up first thing in the morning before, but he came right before the morning came, they already did it. The rest of Klai Yisrael didn't do it. And then Moshe Rabbeinu came down. So if they would have, he almost made it. Aaron HaKohen almost accomplished. That's not what we're saying over here. The Meshech Chochma, the Ben Ish Chai says this. But he says that he was actually trying to completely postpone it, and then Moshe would come down. Yes, that was his goal. It didn't work out because the Erev Rav got up early and were over the eagle. That was his plan. He had a good chesed according to the Ben Ish Chai, but that's not what the Meshech Chochma is saying here. Stating the Kol Rav from Moshe Feinstein, he says that Aaron was zeichet to the kahuna because he was oyer shalom v'roid shalom. Aaron was the pinnacle of an oyer shalom v'roid shalom. He loved peace and he ran after peace. It says that he went amongst Klal Yisrael and he was constantly trying to create more peace. He says that Pinchas over here, Gamkin, he also loved oyer shalom and he was a roid shalom. Over here, you would think, man, it doesn't look like Pinchas is oyer shalom here. He didn't create peace here. He killed people. No, he created peace between the Rebbeinu Shalom and Klal Yisrael. See, Pinchas was an Oyev Shalom, and he didn't want to do this except that it was for Kavod Shemayim. And therefore, the same way Aaron was an Oyev Shalom and was Zeichet to the Kahuna, so too Pinchas. He also loved peace. Sometimes peace means killing, believe it or not. He had to kill Zimri and Cosby to create peace between the Rebbeinu Shalom and Klal Yisrael. Kerem says another word, and he says, then it says before, when it says that he killed him, it doesn't say who Zimri was. It says at the end of Parshas Balak, "Vayar Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron Hakohen v'yokam itaychei v'yigachram v'yoda." He took a sword in his hand. "Vayom v'acha ish Yisrael alakuba v'yidkor shneim." Ish Yisrael doesn't say who. Now we thought the Parshas Pinchas. It tells us that he killed the shame ish Yisrael hamuka asher hukasay midyanis Zimri ben Saloi. Well, nasi beis av l'shimani. He was the nasi of Shimon. Why of Shevet Shimon? Why did he wait? Why did he wait till here to identify who Zimri ben Saloi was? So he says that if he would have told, if Pasuk would have said over here before when he actually did the killing, that Zimri ben Saloi was a nasi of Shevet Shimon, it could have had a bad effect on a negative effect on Klal Yisrael, on people that, wow, look, he's killing a nasi is not a good thing in Klal Yisrael. Look, they see him, they're getting killed. That's not a good thing. Now, when Pinchas did an act l'shem Shemayim, it says that even though he was a Nasi of Shevet Shimon, even though he was important, and even though he was, again, it's the same concept of risking his life for Kavod Shemayim and Avos Hashem, he nonetheless was willing to do it, and that's why it only identifies him now. It says in the Chaimus Anoch, he quotes a Vidal Hatzerfasi, that a Talmud Chacham ben a Talmud Chacham ben a Talmud Chacham, if you have three generations, then forever, it is kaim forever. Something is kaim forever. It says someone learns, if you have Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, Torah stays with you forever. If it's something that gets passed down for three generations. The reason why it says, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, is that the kahuna is going to stay with them forever. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, that's forever and ever, the kahuna is going to stay with Aaron, Pinchas, and their descendants. It says in the Ur HaChaim HaKadosh, that Bekali is Knossi Besoichem. He quelled their Rebbeinu Shalom's anger. Bekali is Knossi Besoichem. Within them, amongst Klal Yisrael. What is the point in telling us Besoichem? So he explains that there's three things to know. He was Meiser his Nefesh, like we said. He was Meiser his Olam Haba, as we said. And he says he did it Barabbam. He did it in front of everybody. Because his whole point was to be Kadashim Shemayim. He wasn't doing it for kavod. He wasn't doing it for honor. He did it Besoichem. So everyone in Klal Yisrael should see that he was ready to risk his Olam Haba. He was ready to risk his life. Or for kavod shemayim.
Were there any others that were doing the same thing, or was he the only?
Well, he was a Nazi. He was a Nazi. There was a Magefa that a lot of Klal Yisrael got killed out because he wasn't the only one. He was a Nazi and he was doing it publicly.
And he was a Nazi.
There was a Magefa. There was a Magefa plague that happened, and there are thousands died out. Like, he had Mason by Magefa above the Esamol of 24,000. They compare it to the Kiva, but
a similar thing.
Yes. So now we can explain why Pinchas specifically got the Kahuna. Sometimes we don't realize what's good for us, what's not good for us. Think about it. A Kohen is not allowed to be Matana. If he is, then he. If a Kohen is not allowed to kill anybody. Had Pinchas been a Kohen before this act, and he would have gone and done the right thing. Mm-hmm. And been a Kanoi and killed Zimri and Cosby, he would have lost. He wouldn't be able to do the Kohen anymore. But the Rebbeinu Shlomo made it. He wasn't a Kohen. And now, in this schus, this very schus, that he did this act, he became a Kohen and he never lost.
I don't understand. Why would he have lost the Kohen if he had done this?
Because if a Kohen kills, he loses his Kohen.
Really?
A Kohen that kills is possible for Kohen. So we see that Pinchas
is always the opposite. The inheritance.
Exactly, and that's the answer. The answer to the question. The question was, why was specifically Zeichel to the Kohuna? He didn't get the Kohuna. We sometimes look at Kayach. Kayach complained. Kayach went and complained. Why am I not getting this? Why is Moshe? Pinchas didn't complain. He's not a Kohen. He didn't get the Kohuna. No complaints. No complaints, and because he didn't complain, this was the best thing for him, and it was in this that he was zeicha to actually get the kahuna later on. A little bit later in the parasha, Pasuk says, "Vayemar Hashem Moshe kachol chot Yeshua benu Asher ish Asher ruah boi v'smachta yadcha olav amata oisil tnei Elazar akoyim tnei kol eida." Yeshua, Moshe ran and took Yeshua, took him in front of Elazar akoyim and the entire congregation, entire Klal Yisrael, the eida v'tzivisa oisil neihem. Yeshua is becoming the next leader in Klal Yisrael. Moshe being after he's going to die, Yeshua is taking over. The question is what does it mean that he did it l'fnei kol ha'eda? Why did it have to be in front of kol ha'eda? And it says v'tzivisa oisai le'ein nehem, to their eyes. What does this mean? So Rashi says, Kapitel Chav Zayin Pasuk Yutet v'tzivisa al Yisrael da'ashat achinun him sarvonun him amenashat takabal lecha. He says you should know Klal Yisrael, they're complainers. Watch out for Klal Yisrael. And nonetheless, you should accept on yourself, Yeshua should accept upon himself to be the leader of Klal Yisrael. So Rashi says, the Ramban says, he doesn't understand this Pshat. He says that you're going to tell Yeshua, the new leader, in front of Klal Yisrael that they're not so good, Klal Yisrael? He says, what are you accomplishing? You think that Klal Yisrael and therefore are going to respect Yeshua? I mean, it's not creating any goodwill. Why would you do that? He doesn't understand it. The Ramban says that it just means that Le'inehem, that he came in front of them, that they should see, that they should realize that Yeshua is the one who's going to be their king and their judge, and that they should have Amunah and Yeshua the same way they had Amunah and Moshe Rabbeinu, they should have Amunah and Yeshua, that he's going to be the new leader. It says in the Yetav Lev, and says, "Kachol chos Yeshua benun, v'tzivisa eisanen l'man yishmu kol adas b'nei Yisrael." He says, what does Emunah mean? What does it mean to have Emunah? So what is Emunah? What does it mean? The Pasuk, Shemois, Kapitel Yidal, Pasuk Lamed Aleph says, Vayar Yisrael es hayod hagadolo asher os Hashem Mitzrayim, Vayiram es Hashem, Vayiminu b'Hashem u'Moshe Avdei. Klal Yisrael saw, and they had Emunah. He says, what do you mean they saw and had Emunah? If I see something, with my own eyes, I see something happen, That's not emunah. I know it happened. Emunah means to believe something that I can't see, that I don't know. I have faith in you. You tell me something, I don't know it, I didn't see it, but I have emunah in you. I have emunah in the Baruch Shalom. I don't see everything the Baruch Shalom does, but I have emunah in him. So what does it mean? Vayaris Hashem, the Vayah Yisrael, they saw and they had emunah. It doesn't seem to go together. He says is that when they saw the capabilities of the Baruch Shalom, they realized that not only could the Baruch Shalom do what they saw, but he had there's no parameters. He can accomplish anything. So they believed what they saw, they knew. And everything else they had emunah. So he says, and instead of here, Laman Yishmu called Nasmi Yisrael, that he wanted it to be that Klal Yisrael should have a same emunah in Yeshua. You should know, Le'ei Nehem, even though it's through their eyes, they should see now, this is Yeshua, but you should know, that the same way you have to have emunah in Rabbeinu Shalom, and you have to have emunah in Moshe Rabbeinu, you should know that it's more than meets the eye. Have emunah that whatever you see, and you're going to see good things, Yeshua is much greater than that. It says in the Kol Ram, it says, Batsoin Asher Ein Lohem Roya. Pasuk says, Moshe Rabbeinu once asked the Rabbeinu Shalom that there should be a new leader. And Pasuk says, Asher Yesi Lefneim Asher Yobu Lefneim Asher Yetzi Yem Asher Yivim Asi Adas Hashem Katsoin Asher Ein Lohem Roya. He says he should be a worthy leader. And the Pasuk ends, and the Loisi Adas Hashem Katsoin Asher Ein Lohem Roya. And Klal Yisrael shouldn't be a tzoyin, sheep that doesn't have a shepherd, she'ein lahem roya. That sounds like, first of all, Moshe Rabbeinu makes it sound like you need someone of a high caliber. And then the pasuk ends, but Klal Yisrael, they shouldn't be like a sheep without a leader, without a shepherd. That means take anybody. What does Moshe want? Does he want someone of a high caliber, or just they shouldn't be leaderless, so to say? So the Kol Ram explains that it's not pshat that they should be leaderless, but rather it's pumfei keret. When someone is a roya, he's a shepherd. He's getting paid. Does he care about the sheep? He doesn't care about the sheep. He cares about the sheep as much as his interest. If all of a sudden he find out that he's not getting paid, he'd say, forget it. He doesn't care about the sheep. He's not watching the sheep. He's doing it as long as he's getting paid. So when the pasuk says, "Katzoyin Hashem Lahem Roya," they should be like sheep, Hashem Lahem Roya, and he should still want it that it doesn't matter. They shouldn't be like sheep without a roya. They should have someone who doesn't care about himself. He doesn't care about the money. He doesn't care about getting paid. He's willing to do it no matter what. And that's what he wanted in the pasuk to tell you. Yom Hashem Moshe Kachol Yeshua Ben Nun. Yeshua Ben Nun is this person. He is the one that he's going to. All he cares about is Klal Yisrael. He doesn't care about himself. He doesn't take his own interests. That's what a true leader of Klal Yisrael only cares about Klal Yisrael. It says in the Rekeach, and it says in the pasuk Vayamidehu that the Yeshua Vayamidehu that he was the one that was going to take over. And the pasuk says, he stood him in front of Klal Yisrael as he is the new leader. It's missing a yud. He says, why is it missing a yud? Because that yud represents Balgaiva, and Yeshua was not a Balgaiva. Rabbi Yoel says that the reason why it's missing a yud is because he ran away from covet. He didn't even want it. But Yamidehu, they stood him up there against his will. He didn't want the covet.
Oh.
Yeshua was running away from covet. He didn't want covet. Everything was about what Klal Yisrael, what the needs of Klal Yisrael, and what they needed. That's all he wanted. So the pshat is when it says that v'tzivisa oisa le'einehem, that Moshe Rabbeinu placed Yeshua le'einehem in front of their eyes. What's pshat Rashi? The pshat is that if Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to show Yeshua, look at Klal Yisrael. You need to see their faults. They're not perfect, but you have to accept it and say, "Is no matter what I see, I'm not judging them. I'm not a big shot. I'm not important. It's about them. It's how I'm going to help them, and I'm going to make them better." And that's what it means le'einehem, that the Klal Yisrael should see that Yeshua is accepting them for what they are, and Yeshua should accept them for what they are, because that's all that matters. And Emunah is something that people, we have to have a pile. You know, there's a story, Brooklyn, and you know, you're looking for a parking spot. A fellow was looking for a parking spot. He's driving around and around and around and around the same block 100 times, can't find the spot. He says, "God, please help me find the spot." All of a sudden, 10 seconds later, someone pulls out, he gets a spot. He says, "Forget it, God, I got a spot. No, thank you. I'm good." There are times that the Rebbeinu Shalom, he davened him and he got it, but he didn't see the Rebbeinu Shalom. certain times you have to, it's mamash apparel, you could see it, but we choose to hide our faces from it. We have to realize that the Baruch Shalom is always here, we have to have a moon in the Baruch Shalom. Again, next week, Mi'at Shem, Thursday night at 10 o'clock in the nice day of the Beis Medrash on 29 Parker. Monday and Wednesday is a shir at 9 o'clock. Gemara, followed by Chumash, followed by Ma'ariv at 9:45. Have a good Shabbos.